In the air, left center field, hit deep, way back, at the wall, and goodbye, home run! Hanser Alberto! An eighth inning, three RBI shot, and the Orioles have a 4-1 lead.
I enjoy that call, not because it's the Orioles winning and beating my Royals, but because Gary Thorne, I've always liked his voice. I've always liked his call. I haven't heard his voice in a long time. Good to hear it there, although bad news because he's excited and they hit a home run in the eighth inning for recently acquired Jacob Barnes. Well, our Royals fans might not even know who Jacob Barnes is. I don't know a lot about him either. But anyway, he served up the home run ball last night, and Brad Keller was fantastic through six innings. He allowed just three hits. He needed just 79 pitches through 49 strikes. So naturally, after six innings and you're cruising, your bullpen's not very good, you pull him, right? It actually makes sense when you think about it. Here's Ned Yost explaining why Brad Keller came out after six innings, throwing just 79 pitches and not allowing any runs and just three hits, and his team was up 1-0.
Here's my issue with Keller. He's one of our guys, our main guys moving forward. He's already 20-something innings past what he threw last year. We're not even into September yet. So I'm not going to push him for the rest of this year. I mean, he's going to get his innings in, but for me to extend him out and push him, I'm not going to do it. Just can't, you know. Other guys are going to have to pick up the slack. Other guys are going to have to come in and get a job done. We're giving everybody plenty of opportunity. He did his job, you know. He went and gave us a strong six and 90 degree weather, and I'm just not pushing him. He's going to end up, you know, way over his innings limit, and he's too important to our organization.
Makes total sense to me. I mean, you're a bad baseball team.
Especially
you're 45-81. There's no need to push a young pitcher. There's no. In fact, you could argue they should shut him down now. You could argue that.
Yeah.
Or at least say, hey, in September, let's skip a couple. I'll go to a six-man rotation.
Yeah. Some,
of course, the Royals don't have enough guys to do a six-man rotation. But he's thrown 164 innings. He threw 140 last year, so I'm okay with it. The reasoning makes sense to me. Now, I didn't get the Sparkman one the other night very much, but I do get Keller. He's still young, and he is a big part of the future for the Royals, and he's been pitching really well lately. Royals offense can't get him any support for the most part. Royals lose 4-1 last night. Bullpen implodes. It's happened quite a bit this year. Mike Montgomery on the hill for the Royals. He's been pitching very well as of late. He's been a decent pickup thus far. From the Cubs in the trade from Martin Maldonado, who then was traded from the Cubs to the Astros back to where he was, which I'm sure he's okay with because he's on a part of a team that's leading a division and a World Series favorite. So Royals back in action tonight. Montgomery on the hill. Royals in Baltimore for Game 3 of that series. And then the Royals will go to Boston tomorrow to play what might only take a few minutes. That game is suspended in the 10th inning. They'll go to Boston to try to wrap that one up. So they'll resume that one in the 10th inning. Kansas State football hit by the injury bug as they lose who they thought might be their starting fullback. Adam Hartner is out for the season with an injury. And here's Chris Kleiman talking about that injury.
At least we have the time to figure it all out. I mean, everybody that's a tight end is also a fullback, from Leonard's to Logan Long to Blaze to Sammy to Luke Soa. You know, we're throwing Jack Stineen in the mix as well. I mean, there's so many bodies back there that now Coach Mess is just, you know, we have the time. The it's unfortunate that Adam was injured, but you know, it's not like it's happened 2 days before a game. So we have a number of guys that we'll keep rotating through. There's not going to be a set. Boy, you're the only thing you are is a tight end, and the only thing you are is a fullback. We have to continue to push the guys and see how much they can absorb and understand to play multiple spots. And so it'll be a revolving door there.
This is crazy. A K-State football coach talking about injuries. This was Kleiman announcing that Harder is out for the season.
Adam's going to be lost for the season. He had a knee injury a couple weeks ago. It was his first day back. He'd had some hamstring, a little bit issues throughout the summer. And unfortunately for Adam, he was injured, kind of a non-contact deal in practice. And he'll miss the season. And still we're trying to figure out where that will be as far as getting this fifth year or getting his senior year back.
Bill Snyder was a coach. You wouldn't know about this till the year's over, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just crazy. I mean, it's just, you gotta get.
We're working with the young man. We'll see if he's back.
Yeah, we got to pinch ourselves because of the access that the media is getting with Kansas State. Coach Kleiman in his conference yesterday was discussing the adjustment to a new coaching staff, going from Bill Snyder to Coach Kleiman's staff.
It's just different ways of doing things. And so, and then you take that across the landscape of offense, defense, and special teams. The terminology is just so different. And so that's where we have to make sure and understand that, you know, what was a term last year could mean the same, but it's here's what it's called this year. And that's where we're still working through some things. And the guys have done a phenomenal job of learning the terminology and utilizing it so that they're talking Coach Kleinerman's language in the back end of safeties rather than what was in the past. And that's always a work in progress.
Well, there's certainly some enthusiasm with this football team. I think the fan base is enthused just to see something different. Coach Kleiman talks about his team's enthusiasm at this point.
The guys are excited to go out and compete and play every day. I've been really, really happy with the effort on a daily basis to come out there and continue to try to improve. They know that they're learning something from our schemes every day. They're learning something from a coach every day on how to do a technique, or you know, it's all new to them. That's the thing that I've enjoyed. It's all new to them, so they're really sponges. They want to continue to improve and get better, and they know that we're barely scratching the surface of what we're doing offensively and defensively. And for us to stay on that trajectory, to be where we want to be, we have to continue each day to get better, and they're excited to improve every day.
One of the focal points for Coach Kleiman yesterday is keeping his team fresh.
If you'd ask the guys the amount of repetitions they're getting, they're playing a full game out there every practice. And so on the flip side of that, with the double rep system, you got to be smart, because we got to get these guys' legs back too. And then that's something that we'll do beginning later on this week. We still have a couple of really hard practices ahead of us, but we need to get these guys' legs back. They're in great shape. You know, Coach Dawson did a phenomenal job and his staff throughout the summer of getting them in shape to play football. Now I think our staff's done a great job of getting them in football condition to make sure they're ready to play games. Now we've got to start toning some things back, because we got to make sure our guys are fresh come August 31st.
And that is the date of the season opener at 6 o'clock at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. K-State will host Nichols, and Coach Kleiman sharing a little bit about Nichols and the FCS.
We're not going to overlook them. I can promise you that. Nichols is a dynamite football team, and I have tremendous respect for their coaching staff and their players, and they've given a number of Power 5 teams a run for their money. And I saw them on film last year because they should have beaten Eastern Washington. They were up early on, and they don't have a block field goal. They're probably advancing on because they had the momentum. Great quarterback, tremendous skill players. They had a Big 12 win last year. Football's not much different, guys. You know, South Dakota came in here last year and probably should have won. And Kansas State found a way to win. And that's guys understand that if you don't have your A game and you don't play your best football, you're going to get beat. It doesn't matter the level of play.
Very true. Very true. I mean, you mentioned South Dakota could easily won. And of course, North Dakota went in there and won. K-State. Nichols beat KU last year in Lawrence. Although, is that saying a lot how bad KU has been the last few years? But he's right. So K-State, we'll talk more about that. Riley Gates next Tuesday. We've got a lot more time to talk about their opener against Nichols on August the 31st. KU will open up on August 31st against Indiana State. And one guy that's really been impressing the new head coach, Les Miles, is a kid that certainly was considered in K-State, chose KU, Gavin Potter, linebacker.
Gavin Potter's going to play just a lot of football. So get used to seeing him and being around him, because he runs well and he'll hit you, and he likes to play, and he's got a smile on his face when he does hard things, and that's kind of a key piece.
And we'll talk more about KU football tomorrow. Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, will be back with us. Thanks to our friends over at Anderson Insurance Agency and Beloit. He'll be with us tomorrow at 9:30 to talk KU football and athletics in general. There is certainly a buzz around the KU football program with their new head coach at the helm, Les Miles. All right, let's jump back to kind of K-State Chiefs type of thing. Honestly, I think kind of good news for the Chiefs a little bit, but bad news for K-State fans of K-State players, perhaps. Jeff Allen was added back to the Chiefs team. He gives them experience on the offensive line. His wife has a cookie business. And so they asked him what he was doing during the offseason. He said, making cookies. So he is back on the team, and that meant that somebody had to go off the roster, and that is K-State offensive lineman Abdul Beecham, who we knew didn't have a great chance of making the team. So he's now looking for a job and trying to hook on at some roster in the NFL. Jeff Allen is back, and he's glad to be back with the Chiefs.
I feel awesome. It feels like I've never left. It hasn't been that long, to be honest. It was just a good time in my life. You know, between me and my family, we felt like, you know, this is an opportunity where, you know, I get a chance to win a Super Bowl with a great organization, with great people, people that we love and like, good teammates, good coaches, front office, everything.
And the Chiefs also add DeAnthony Thomas back. Dat is back on the Chiefs, who still has really good speed. He returns, and yesterday they plugged him in with the starters, and he caught a touchdown pass for Patrick Mahomes. Adam Teicher reported he's never seen that before.
Yeah.
The guy just coming off the street, goes in with the starters, catches a touchdown pass. Well, that tells you he still has, you know, outstanding speed. And I don't know what that means for Byron Pringle, another K-State guy. I don't know if that – I would guess that hurts Byron Pringle in regards to the depth chart. I think he's still going to make this team, although I think he's going to be one of those guys that isn't active on game day, you know, half the time. I don't think this means that Byron Pringle is not going to make the team. But obviously, Allen means Beecham's not making the team because Beecham's already been cut. But,
exactly.
But either way, it's really not good news for those two K-Staters in regards to playing time.
No, it's not.
So you're going with experience over inexperience. That's what you're doing.
Yeah, and man, I keep going back to what would have happened if Pringle hadn't gotten hurt last year.
Oh, I know. They were like,
he was having an outstanding preseason, even in games. Yeah. You haven't seen that much in games this year from him.
No.
But last year he did, and it's going to be interesting to see how that affects him going forward.
All right, some other notes. As the Chiefs, by the way, their preseason game coming up this Saturday against the Niners. You can hear it pregame at 6 o'clock on Z96.3 The Lake. Your home for the Chiefs in North Central Kansas. A couple other notes. Antonio Brown apparently was at practice yesterday with a certified helmet from the National Football League, so perhaps that saga is finally over. Ronda Rousey, you remember her? UFC. She was filming a TV show. Nearly severed the finger off of her hand, and she showed a picture on Instagram, and it is so gross. Her finger was literally hanging by a thread. She nearly lost it, and she didn't even realize it. A boat door, some freak accident on set, a boat door slammed against her hand, and she thought that she just had a sprain or something. Didn't even realize it for a little bit, and then looked at it like, oh, my God, I might lose my finger. Gives me the heebie-jeebies just thinking about that stuff.
Yeah.
And Phillip Rivers was on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday or earlier this week, and he said why Tom Brady might not be the greatest of all time at quarterback. He didn't say he wasn't. He just said, here's why he might not be. And his point was really, I thought, a solid one. And that is, and it kind of backs up the fact that he's still a great player because he's never made the Super Bowl. And he even said, listen, Brady's better than me because I'm 0-5 against Brady and the Patriots. So he's clearly the better quarterback. But Rivers said it shouldn't all be based off of how many Super Bowls you win. And if you go look at Brady's Super Bowls of the Patriots, they're 6-3 in 9 Super Bowls. They could easily be 3-6. Easily. And he made a good point. He said, you know, if the Seattle Seahawks actually run the football into the end zone at the 1 yard line instead of the Patriots picking off a pass, he said, because after that game, that was like cemented that Tom Brady was the greatest quarterback of all time with that Super Bowl victory. He said, Tom Brady didn't play any differently in that game, whether it was a run in for a touchdown for the Seahawks and they win, or the Patriots win with the interception at the goal line. And he makes a great point.
Oh, yeah.
He's absolutely right about that. And I think we get caught up in the, well, you win so many championships, you're the greatest, because that means the Michael Jordan, LeBron James argument is really null and void if you're going off championships. It matters to a certain point, but what about Bill Russell? He must be the greatest of all time. So you got to put a little bit, you know, you got to factor it in maybe. Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And Phillip Rivers brought Dan Marino up. He said, you know, I still think of him as right there in the conversation as one of the greatest of all time. I think you could throw Elway in there. I think he won a few Super Bowls late in his career. Obviously, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady. Once again, it's a mute point because everybody got their own opinion. But Phillip Rivers, it was an interesting point just saying, I'm not saying Brady's not the greatest. I'm just saying he might not be. Do we have to just automatically all just agree he is? He's saying, well, you know, look, if he were 3-6 in the Super Bowl, would he be considered the greatest? I mean, LeBron's not considered the greatest, and that's about his
LeBron,
NBA Finals
probably.
Record.
We'd be talking, right. Joe Montana never lost.
That's right.
Thing.
I think we would.
It'd almost be the same thing.
Which is weird, though, because Brady's just considered the greatest of all time by a lot of people. But Montana was 4-0. Brady's 6-3, if I got that right. Well, LeBron, you know, he's not 6-3 in the finals. But as soon as LeBron lost one, Jordan people are like, well, he's already out.
Yeah.
Jordan never lost one. Yeah. Well, Montana never lost one, so why isn't the same thing applied for Montana to back him up? He was a system quarterback. That's the comeback on. Whatever. You can always argue whatever. But interesting stuff from Philip Rivers. Makes some good points. So we'll continue. Les Norman talking Royals coming up on the ticket.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.